Hello, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Mary, and welcome to From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
We are excited to introduce to you talented and passionate artists who shape our arts community. How do they create and why? And how can Orlando benefit from an even greater arts presence?
On each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the heart.
Hello, Mary.
Hi, Joshua.
Back in the studio with you. So exciting as always.
Always a pleasure.
I love our guests and I love our shows and, you know, not to have like a lovely, you know, a warm fuzzy moment right here for everybody.
Know.
But we just really have some cool people on
and
our
I
shows.
And I always leave here inspired at what we have in our very own city. And always a little proud that you and I get to help give a platform to our friends and family of the arts community.
I love that. And, you know, and I always think that I know what's happening and I'm in the arts community. And then I come to these shows and we find out so many great things that I didn't even know. So I know you, the listener, are learning all about the arts community in a whole new way as you listen to these shows and meet these leaders and hear more about these organizations. So we're
now,
just
normally,
thankful.
Normally, we start our show off by talking about what we've done, but we've got a special way to start this show.
We do. And Mary, we love being able to get the word out about shows and events that are happening. We have a great show lined up today. Before we dive in, we want to talk to Teresa Smith-Levin from Central Florida Vocal Arts. So hello, Teresa.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, we are so happy to have you on the show, and we're going to have you back and learn all about Central Florida Vocal Arts at another time for sure. But tell us about the show that's coming up just in a few days.
Absolutely. So we are opening our original world premiere operetta fusion piece, Grimly Ever After. It's a retelling of the Grimm fairy tales as they were originally intended, a little less sanitized than some of the versions that we have out now, a little bit more true to form. And we work in opera and musical theater pieces in order to tell those stories and allowing the audience to interact and be a part of the path that these stories will take.
That's awesome. And I know you put on quality work, Teresa, so thank you for what you bring to our community. These shows are happening at the Orlando Shakespeare Theater, right?
That's correct. And we open next Friday, November 11th, with shows on the 11th and the 12th in the evening, and then Sunday matinees. We have 2 weekends of shows, and we close November 20th.
And a total of 6 shows altogether?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
And how can people learn more about how to get tickets and what to expect at the show? Is there a website?
Absolutely. We encourage you to visit our website, which is cflvocalarts.com. Tickets and more information are available there.
And also information about your organization?
Absolutely. We have 2 different missions that we focus on, our young artists as well as our emerging professional artists.
Wow.
That is wonderful.
Another reason we can't wait to have you on our show.
So go and see Grimly Ever After at the Orlando Shakespeare Theater, opening on November 11th with 6 shows. You can get tickets. Tell us that website one more time.
cflvocalarts.com.
And it's going to be like a little bit of a darker version of the fairy tales, right?
Yes, still family friendly, but more true to form as the Grimm brothers originally wrote them.
Nice.
Awesome.
Teresa Smith-Levin, thank you so much. Will you come visit
thank
and spend
so much,
a show
Mary.
With us and tell us more about your organization
Absolutely.
Soon?
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure, Mary and Joshua, anytime you want me.
We'd love
great.
That.
Great. We'll break a leg. The show will be great, I know. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
Bye, Teresa.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it does. I think I might try to go check that out. Teresa's doing some really great work when it comes to the vocal side of our arts community, and she does a lot for young performers, so
wow.
I think that's cool. Speaking of young performers, we have our Hats the Musical this weekend with our preschoolers, and it's just a good reminder.
Aww.
We got to start out young.
Yes.
They all, you know, talking about opening doors of conversation, we bring this up almost every time. So this little musical is only 25 minutes long, but it's all about the different hats that we wear in life, and so they put on different hats, and they sing about those, and talk about
and
careers and family.
Joshua? Central Florida?
Yeah, it's produced by Central Florida Community Arts, but it's going to be at Calvary Assembly.
And preschoolers.
Saturday night.
How many?
Preschoolers. There's about 35 preschoolers.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of hats.
That's a lot of hats, and that's a lot of three-year-olds.
So how can people find out about tickets?
Go on our website, cfcarts.com. cfcarts.com, and check it out. Well, we have a fantastic show lined up today.
Speaking of hats, I'm wearing 2 hats here today.
You are? And what are those 2 hats that you're wearing,
well,
Mary?
Well, one is being your co-host. And the other is being the wife to one of these 2 visual artists, our first visual artist ever,
Yay.
Which is great for radio.
I know.
And I'll let you guess which one's my husband, although I adore them both.
Yeah, well, introduce us to our guest, Mary.
All right. Well, first of all, we have Thomas Thorsbecken. Thomas Thorsbecken is, I can't imagine Orlando without his work. We see it all over our publications and all over Orlando. So we're going to get to hear about Thomas's work and how he got started. I learned earlier at Disney, one of his jobs for 10 years.
Mm.
And then another artist who wouldn't be here without me.
Oh, he earned his spot. You stop it.
I wanted to make him smile. He almost kind of did. is my husband of going on, 35 years this mm-hmm. December, Jason Hunt, who also with a pencil can make lead come to life.
I love that. I thought you were going to say magic, but lead come to life mm-hmm. is a great way to say that. Well, welcome to both of you. We're so glad you're on the show today. And what two great representatives from the visual arts world.
My favorites.
So let's dive right in. Thomas, tell us all about your artistry and what you do. And before we even say that, thank you for how much you give back to the arts mm-hmm. community. You're a blogger and you really support the arts. So we're proud to have you on the show, but tell us about your artistry.
Well, thank you. So, yeah, I started 10 years ago. It was a New Year's resolution to do one sketch a day and document life and culture in Orlando. And I've been doing one sketch a day ever since then. And in the beginning, I started just drawing on the streets of Orlando, but people started telling me that I should experience different venues. And sort of people led me to what I'm doing now. It sort of formed organically over time. So a lot of dance, theater, culture, politics as well. This past month, I've been very involved in the Pulse.
I'm mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were going to say politics. I jumped the gun there.
Oh, yeah. I'm avoiding the politics.
Yeah, there you go.
Except Election Day, I'll be out there sketching.
Okay. Yeah, so Pulse, yeah, there's been, we just had
portraits of each of the victims.
Yeah, we're interviewing victims. I'm doing sort of courtroom portraits of each victim as during their interview.
Wow.
So you draw a sketch a day, and you've been doing that for 10 years?
Yes.
And sometimes more, you said, right? Sometimes
yeah,
two?
Yeah, lately I'm doing more. So sometimes I'll do two or three at a venue in the evening.
But you've been drawing your entire life, right? I mean, you didn't start really drawing 10 years ago, did you?
I started drawing when I was 10 years old. So everything has to do with 10.
Are you self-taught?
I went to college as well. So I went to the School of Visual Arts in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have an illustrative journalism course that I took. So I didn't use it for the longest time until I got to Orlando.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You mentioned somewhere I read that there were times you've drawn in Orlando where you were asked to stop.
Oh, certainly. That's happened a few times, yeah.
And why is that?
It's usually a volunteer or something at a venue, and it happens a lot less now. It probably happened the most in the first year. People just aren't comfortable with somebody sitting still and watching.
Oh.
I think people are used to seeing life go by very quickly, and if somebody stops. For instance, I was working in the parks, and I'd always go out and draw during my lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the MGM Studios, it was called then. And I'd sat on the park bench, and a woman walked by, and she looked at me very strangely as she walked by, and then she ran around the corner. Then she came back, and she stood in front of me and said, "Are you an animatronic?" And I was just sitting there relaxing. People aren't used to people sitting still.
I love that. And I think your sketches are brilliant, Thomas. You've been gracious enough to come out and do several of our shows, and I'm always curious to see what you capture in the end product, because you'll sit for a few hours mm-hmm. and to see what is that one moment in time that you decide to capture. How do you decide when you're watching a show or watching a rehearsal? What is that glimpse in time that you feel like needs to be captured?
It's a challenge in that I can't picture one particular scene because it all happens in real time. So I will capture one actor at a time and in a pose that I think is symbolic of what the scene is. And it's sort of like chess, where you have pieces on the board, and I'm picking an actor and putting them in place that makes sense within my picture. I'm matching people together, sort of creating my own scene as it goes along.
Mm.
Wow, that's very
cool.
But
they move from time to time, too.
They're always in motion. Everybody's in motion. So I just decide they're facing three quarters this way. They're on the stage. They're facing somebody else. And once I commit to that pose,
mm-hmm.
I'll follow them around the stage, or sometimes I'll use another actor's legs.
Interesting.
Most of my people are Frankensteins.
How funny. They don't come out that way.
And Jason, you are just a brilliant artist, and I'm so glad. I've said this to Mary. We've actually talked about you a lot on the show, Jason. I'm not sure if you know that, but you are a brilliant artist and one of the best that I have seen at capturing emotion and capturing that moment. And I told Mary one of my favorite gifts ever was the drawing that you did of the little boy and the little girl in the choir, and just what you caught in that drawing. But how important to you, Jason, is capturing emotion in a painting or a drawing or a sketch?
Oh, it's not just capturing an emotion. It's capturing the one that you're looking for. Usually when people are being vulnerable, which usually when they're being themselves, we often walk around with a mask, and it's hard to get past it most of the time because we want to be seen as we see ourselves, and sometimes we're trying to be not quite ourselves because we're putting on the mask. Mm. And I try to go beneath the mask, or as they say, sometimes between the words of what people are saying or doing.
Oh, this is going to be good, Mary. This is going to be really good. So your job as an artist is not to see the mask, but get beyond the mask and capture what you're drawing, what's really there, right?
I mean, yes, in a sense, I think the artist, he's holding up not a mirror, as best he can, his understanding as he sees people, also as he sees himself. Therefore, he basically tries to capture what's in his mind and what's on the mind of other people, and the way they move, and body language shows a lot of what we're really thinking more so than what we're saying. And when I call my works moments in time, I'm trying to capture a moment when I get a glimpse behind the stage, just like watching life is a stage, but we're looking to the wings and you see the actor not being the actor, but being the person. And then you see him going on the stage and then you appreciate them even more.
Mm. I think Mary's going to be speechless a lot in this.
I am.
She's just, nobody can see this but me, but she's just gazing at you as you speak, and just adoringly and lovingly. She's your biggest fan for sure.
I am. And do you know what? When Jason talks about his work and when he talks about why he loves being alive, I'm always back to the day I met him. And which is so different than 20 minutes ago when you were lost, but we won't go there.
That's what makes a marriage strong after 35 years, is you can get lost and still be okay.
And then get lost in your partner again.
But you were saying, it takes you back to when you first met him.
Yes. I remember when I first met Jason, we had a conversation not unlike this one, just about the bottom line of what's important. And we actually remember talking about theater the day we met. But one day after dating for a couple of months, he said, you know, I paint. And back in the day, he painted vivid, bright colors. And he showed me all these photos of, and I remember running around, we're going to be rich, we're going to be rich, we're going to be rich. Little did I know. But I couldn't believe his talent in his paintings and his drawings even more so. Thomas, I wanted to tell you, I don't know if I ever mentioned this to any of you, but one day I was watching a show at the Orlando Shakes. And I was sitting next to this man who just kept like fidgeting and drawing. And I was like, that's like really weird. We're watching a show. And then later on, I saw work in the paper. I went, that looks like wait, that's the guy I sat next to. And then I realized I sat next to you. It made me laugh. And he drew that while we were. So that's my first experience with it. Did I ever tell you that?
Yeah, I do remember you saying that. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And in a theater, I'm making sure that I'm not twitching too much.
Oh, you were. No, I just found it fascinating that, I sat next to a celebrity.
So, Jason, what is your favorite? That's probably a really cliche question to ask, but is there any piece that you've done that you just really connected to, and why?
It's not, I understand being cliche, but it's a difficult question to answer. I don't think you can. There's no favorite. I think the favorite is the one that comes closer to the idea of what you were trying to achieve. Mm. And that's many of them. They're countless, and it's like saying, what is your favorite child? And one boy asked me, what was my favorite color? I said, all of them. But I might lean towards one more than the other, and doesn't make the other one not favorite.
Mm.
But it's a conglomeration of everything that makes it work for me, not just one particular moment.
And what is that moment when you're sketching? You know, for me as a choir director, I go through many nuances of you know, dynamics and phrasing and all these different things, but it's that moment sometimes when it's like six parts double forte and the chills come down my spine and I just feel like I'm gonna lift off the stage. For both of you, what is that moment when you're drawing where there's that moment? Is there a time in the painting where it's you're putting the final touch on, or is it when, I mean, what is it?
You mean the takeoff place?
No, just like the moment where you get the chills. Like, is it in the middle, or is it you're like, okay, this is finally coming together? Or
I think it's the moment for me is when it comes alive. When you put that final stroke or on the pencil, if you're painting, it's the final brush stroke. There's one moment when it actually pulls together. It's like in the movie with the Frankenstein monster. And he said, it's alive, it's alive. And the artist in his own mind, you kind of say that sometimes.
I love that. Well, Thomas, hold your answer, because we got to come back. We're already. I know. Time is flying. So, Thomas, hold your answer. We're going to start with that when we come back on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM with Mary Thompson Hunt, myself, Joshua Vickery. See you soon.
And welcome back to From the Heart on Magic 107.7. I am Mary Thompson Hunt. I'm here with Joshua Vickery. And how fortunate are we today to have Thomas Thorspeckin and Jason Hunt, my other half, here as our guests representing the visual arts of Orlando. Welcome to both of you. And we're going to continue where we left off. Thomas, we'd like to ask you, as you are working on a piece of work, when is it finished? What do you do to finish that off?
Well, while I'm working on it, it's usually frustrating. It's never as perfect as I'd like it to be. And I think that's true of any play, any dance. You know the mistakes. Other people don't see it. So honestly, I feel that right up until I close the book. And maybe I come back to it a week later after it's been published and it's been in front of people. And then I say to myself, that's not so bad. It worked.
See?
So the thrill is feedback, people talking about it, and just having it out in the world.
I find it interesting you use the word dance because you do so many different art forms. Do you think of your work as a dance? Is it sometimes a song?
Yeah, what I love about working in clubs, in theater, is that you're often feeding off the music. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're sketching a jazz group performing, and that drawing is going to turn out way different than if you're sketching a classical performance. The lines are driven by what you hear, your surroundings, the people that are talking around you. So yeah, I'm feeding off the environment, auditory as well as everything else, and it affects every line I put down.
And to both of you, when you do a piece, is it a story? Are you telling your own story, even if it's something you're watching that's perhaps not a story? And we'll start with you, Thomas.
Of course, every piece is a story. It's figurative, and you're trying to figure out the relationships between people. You're trying to figure out your place in the world. So, of course, every piece tells a story. Mm-hmm. And at first glance, you might not know the story, but it's in the artist's heart to begin with. So.
And then, of course, it's interpreted as its own story to your viewer as well, right?
Yeah.
How about you, Jace?
Yes, every piece can be a story, as Thomas says, but it's also sometimes simply a conversation. It's about reminding yourself that to be an artist, you're in and of the world. You're not separate from it, and seeing yourself as lofty heights as being some special person with this amazing gift is basically, it's what you bring to the dance, whatever you are touched by, whether the divine providence. This is what I do, and people think, oh, this is amazing. It's like they think it's a magic trick. It's simply what we do.
It's what
and it somewhat sets us apart. And I think it really sets us apart because we tend to walk in our own way.
Well, and you said that divine providence, which I love you said that, but the two of you are so good that sometimes you do look at your work and go, okay, there's got to be a trick to that, like, because it's so good. But when you talk about singing and acting or even like playing the piano, you know, I say this a lot too, anybody can sing. Everybody can sing. Maybe not really well, but everybody can sing. Can everybody paint and draw, and can everybody do that?
Of course they can, but the problem is people think it's drawing to or painting or singing to a certain level. I speak to people, so I can't draw. I can't even draw a straight line. I say, well, most drawings don't consist of straight lines. So we have half the battle won. It's dancing. It's the activity is the reward. If you can dance or sing, you don't have to sing well. You don't have to dance well. But the doing, that's the part that brings everyone to this place of, I can do this and have the experience of what maybe we would call a professional artist does. But as a professional artist, you don't think of yourself as being anything outside of anybody else's realm of existence. And it's not special, but, and then some people think it is. And as you say, most people should take the time and realize it's the activity. It's not the end result.
And what about you, Thomas? Do you think everybody can draw?
I absolutely do think that. Mm-hmm. I teach middle school kids, high school kids, and they can draw. Some of the best drawings are from kids that are just smearing paint with their fingers
Why
on the page.
Why is that?
Because it's direct. They're not questioning what they're doing. They don't judge what they're doing. It's just fun. It's direct. It's playing with the medium.
And when you say it's direct, meaning direct from?
Direct from the child, from their heart, what they feel with their fingers. Mm-hmm. I have urban sketching outings with people, like once a month here in Orlando, and a father brought his daughter to, it was at Pulse, but we sketched at the Pulse site. And the daughter was there. Her father was looking at her the whole time.
And how old
her
is she?
Her drawings, she was probably 10, I'd say, at most. And I think her drawings are some of the best from the day.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Her interpretations. And
it's kind of uninhibited, right?
I mean, there's no judgment. It's like, I'm not bad. I'm not good.
Filter.
I'm just doing what I do. And that's what you have to get to as an artist.
You mentioned conversation before. Do you mean conversation, Jason, from the artist to the viewer or from you to your canvas? And do you see it as also a conversation, Thomas? I'm curious to know.
Yes, that's why I write so much. I mean, if museums had the artists actually speaking or writing about their work, Van Gogh would be a fantastic blogger. Had there been blogging in the day. I think work in the museums often seems stale because that inner conversation that the artist was having would help.
Mm-hmm.
Because, or even a conversation with the person that posed for that picture. What were they thinking? Mm-hmm. What was it like during that session? So, yes, absolutely.
It's a cacophony of conversations, even the people that invented your paints, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Jason?
Yes, it's overlapping monologue, like in the 1930s screwball movies when you have people talking at the exact same time.
Right.
In your own mind, as an artist, you're doing the same thing. You're talking to the people or the person or whatever you're trying to represent. At the same time, you're thinking about the people who are going to see this. What do they understand about this? And get back to one other thing. When people say they can't draw, I said, when you write your name, you're drawing.
Mm.
The only reason other people can understand that because you drew that in a way that's acknowledged by everybody else, these symbols mean something.
You know, it's so funny you say that. It's amazing that you say that because I was just having this conversation with someone yesterday. I did another radio show yesterday, and somebody was saying, you know, I'm just not creative. And I said, do you ever have an idea about anything? And they said, of course. Well, then you're creative.
True.
And it's the same thing. We define art by what society tells us art is. And my scribbling on my paper that expresses my emotion might at that moment be my art.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's neat that you said, if you can write your name, then you can draw.
Yeah, life is, art is not in a box. It's organic. It's everywhere. And we think when you look at a building, you look at the Statue of Liberty, you look at anything, you go to a cemetery, you look at the gravestones, an artisan made those.
Yeah.
When they carve figures or just the lettering, that's an art. Anything that you do with focus and dedication and passion is an art.
Well, Jason and Thomas, I'm so, you know, we're just loving talking to you. And if you're just turning in on Magic 107.7 FM from the heart, we're talking to Thomas Thorsbecken and Jason Hunt, who is the other half of Mary Thompson Hunt, which we're going to get some dish on you later in the third segment, Mary. I just think we need to do that. But both of you, I appreciate you being so gracious and saying that everybody can draw. But, you know, I feel like I could work my whole life and never be the artist that the two of you are. Do you feel like, though, that some people are just born to create in that way? Because I just feel like as you said, maybe that is something that was given to you and that is what you do.
Mm-hmm. I think people are born with passion, and passion to create is what you need to keep your whole life, to keep doing it. It's not an easy way to make a living, and it's so you need dedication and passion, and that's all that's really necessary. 10,000 hours or whatever, one book said, you have to do
Malcolm
a million
Gladwell.
Drawings. After a million drawings, you're going to be a much better artist than when you started. So,
what do you think, Jason?
I think so as well. In the cave, when you go back to the cave painting at Lascaux in France, when you look at the way they were drawing the images of the bison and things, that people thought they were lousy. They couldn't draw a bison to save their lives. They weren't trying to draw the bison as they saw it. They were drawing the bison as they felt it. They were trying to capture lightning in a bottle. They were they're telling the people after coming after them, this is what I saw. And they look and say, oh, it's a bison. Because children draw that same way with the dedication and understanding of what they're trying to do. And therefore, when people try to create, there are no limitations. There is no judgment in the sense of what of quality, of what level you're doing. It's not a competition in the art world. It's a celebration of what we all bring. And as they say, American is a melting pot. It's a salad. We bring all the various colors to it. And what all the artists bring, all the various abilities they have, and we rejoice in that, and the world's a better place for the artists.
Mm. Not long ago, we had two local artists, performing artists, Stephen Lane and Ann Herring, and we asked them, what else would you do if you weren't actors? And they said, there's nothing else they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Is there something else you could do, we would do, if you were not artists?
I wouldn't want to do anything else. But what he was saying is celebrating other creative people is just as rewarding as the art itself. So I would be documenting through writing, and I'd focus on celebrating what's amazing about the world around me.
Mm.
So
how about you, Jace? I love that, Thomas.
I would probably be either a film director or a writer.
It's still all in the arts, though. You're just going to create.
I would be a garbage man.
No. But anything you do is done with the dedication. And in Japan, the idea of a samurai must be able also to put up an array of flowers
mm-hmm.
and showing his softer side. Mm. So anything that you do, if you put up a building as an architect, and if you design it, and then the people actually do it, there is art into doing that.
Mm.
You cannot get away from the arts.
So are you trying to say, Jason, that everything involves some form of art?
That's what they call medicine practicing
the art. Mary and I have been trying to say that.
Are you trying to say that there's value to art on a building?
Yes.
Oh, hey, what
that's a
segue.
Perfect segue.
what you're doing now with this radio program, a lot of people could come and speak, but is your focus and understanding of what you're doing and your sense of practicing and rehearsing this makes what it's an art form.
Yeah.
Definitely it's an art.
The art of conversation. Uh-huh. Mary,
yes.
Tell us what I know you're just dying to talk about this very cool experience that happened in downtown Orlando. You got to tell our listeners.
Well, it made me so proud that my two favorite artists, both shared their work with the Creative City Project, an idea that I've been working on with Art of Conversation in many different, lives, is one that we did that night with questions that people could ask themselves to engage and connect and further their relationship. And these questions went underneath photos of work of Thomas's and Jason's that were projected onto the SunTrust building at the corner of Church and Orange from the roof of the building across the street. And so they were like the size of my house on the wall, your two works. And it made me so proud all night to see these massive pieces of their drawings. I just wish there had been more of them. But boy, people loved it. I'm still hearing about how much people were surprised by seeing that. So I wanted to say thank you to both of you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I was overwhelmed because I got to go up on the rooftop and I got to experience it from kind of eye level. And the pieces of art, usually on canvas or, you know, something it's tangible, I can touch, to see it really larger than life
mm-hmm.
over our city like that. It was really fantastic. Mary, what were some of the questions that you were asking people as they were mm-hmm. going by?
How are you an artist? How do you create? What makes you happiest? Or when are you happiest? Just questions for people to think about and share with someone they're near. Nothing too personal. So if you happen to be near a stranger, you could actually answer it with them.
So really introspective type things.
Mm-hmm.
Asking those questions of what fuels us, what gives us life.
Yes, what inspires you. And also about the City Beautiful. It was a night of celebrating creativity and Orlando. So what do you love about Orlando? Why are you proud to be from the City Beautiful? Questions like that. I think art, one of the things it does is it brings people together mm. and it makes people have conversations. And so that's what our little objective was by utilizing the work of Thomas and Jason.
And it was so fantastic. So congratulations to you as well, Mary,
thank
because
you.
I know that was something that you brought to life. So Thomas, you know, you have the privilege, but you also, it's such a service to our artistic community, how you promote shows and events and concerts and rehearsals and everything through your blog as well, through your artistry. How would, if somebody's listening tonight and they're part of an arts organization or a part of a community organization and they would love for you to come and check out what they're doing, how would they get in touch with you?
Through the website, Analog Artist Digital World. My information's on there. In the beginning, it was kind of hard to get my foot in many of the doors. So any theater productions that contact me, they're obviously going to get me to promote their things. And just having that access makes it much easier for me. So I'm not cold calling, trying to find a person to contact to get into a particular rehearsal. And I tend to sketch rehearsals and dress rehearsals, tech rehearsals of the play, so that by the time I post, it'll promote the entire run of the show.
I love that. And is your calendar full of opportunities? I'm sure it is.
Yeah, every day there are like 7 different options of things I could sketch. And I have a color code, a rainbow of ideas of how to code it down and what I want to go to specifically that day. But promoting the arts always takes the top priority.
I love that.
As well it should. We're going to be right back in just a little while with Thomas Thorsbecken and Jason Hunt as we hear a little bit more about their work and its influence on our community. Thank you. We're here from
the heart.
Welcome back to From the Heart, Magic 107.7. I am Mary Thompson Hunt, and I'm here with Dasha Vickery, and we are so delighted to have our first visual artists on as our guests. We have Thomas Thorsbecken and Jason Hunt as our guests. We were just speaking a little bit while ago during the break about how when something happens and you need a carpenter, carpenters come forth and they help. When Pulse happened, everyone came forth and helped, and you both did drawings. What was that calling for both of you?
Well, I had to do it. The second I found out about that, there's something I had to do. I didn't know what. So I started going to every single vigil, every single candlelight, every funeral that I could get to. I started drawing nonstop. It was just a compulsion. I put out an event invite on Facebook and asked artists to come out for one evening. And I have an event called Odd, which is Orlando Drink and Draw. So we went to this bar, the Falcon Bar. And about 18 artists showed up, and we did the 49 portraits in one evening.
Amazing.
And we tried to get those same artists to come out. It was just an amazing night. It was total focused and quiet, and people were crying. Like somebody was looking over my shoulder, and he started talking about the boy that I was sketching, and his daughter knew him, so he started telling me personal stories. So I think showing those around town has helped in some ways. Families have gone to the openings and I've seen them cry. Mm-hmm. I think there's a different reaction to art than there are to the photos that have been all over the media.
Absolutely. So, yeah. We had Orlando Gay Chorus talk about how they were needed, same type of reason. Different people have different arts elicit that release or that healing for them.
I think that's a pretty
so many places.
Yeah, I think that's pretty incredible that you said you needed to. And I think that's how all of our community was. Whatever it was that they did, they needed to be able to give back and be a part of it. And that was part of the healing process of our community, was that each person was using their gifts and their talents and their abilities to help the community heal. Mm-hmm. And you did so in such a beautiful way. So several
artists at that event said that they were looking for something to do and they didn't know what to do, and that just coming out that one evening was something.
Is that
them.
Something you've done more than once? It's called Drink and Draw.
It's a monthly event, usually on the first Monday of each
Jason,
month.
Jason, why don't you drink?
he draws plenty.
Never picked up the habit.
What about you, Jason? Did you feel you had to do the drawings that you did?
Yeah, because you look at the sickness of hate. It's the only disease that you willingly acquire. It's taught, and you can reject it, but if you require it, it's on your head. And to see such horrific things that happen to human beings simply because they live a life slightly different than what you think is acceptable, that's unacceptable. And I think artists are enraged and angry, and we try to make this world a better place. When you see something like that, you must come forth. You have to do that. You know, the people who make the signs in war and stuff like that, these are artisans who say, this is horrible and this must stop. And you take a stand. As an artist, you cannot say nothing because then nothing changes.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love artists.
Yeah, I know. the work is an extension of their heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, really, that's what Jason is saying, is that piece is visual artists' way to say this is not okay, and this in there is a better world that we need, and love is love is love. You know, I think that's beautiful. Not to take us away from the Pulse, because I think that's so important. I just have a thought. Like, so I was just on this New England Canada cruise that I love so much, and I saw so many beautiful things as I love being in nature and the mountains and all that. And we were so excited about seeing fall colors. That was one of the reasons why we went. And our first two stops, there were no fall colors yet. It was October and only green trees. So then we went to Halifax, Nova Scotia. And in the middle of this park, there was this beautiful fiery orange tree. It was the only tree that had turned in the entire park. And we took so many photos of it because we were so excited. And then there was a lady who was sitting at the foot of the tree painting that moment, painting that tree. And we walked over and we asked her if we could buy that off of her, because in that moment, I thought, oh, these photos on my iPhone aren't going to really capture how excited we were and that what we felt seeing that beautiful tree in the middle of that park. But we knew that painting would.
What'd she say?
What she said, the oils need to dry much longer because we were on a cruise ship, so we had to go. But I wanted that painting so bad because I knew that hanging that in my home and looking at that for years to come, aww, we would remember that moment. But Thomas and Jason, why? Why did I want that painting over the photography or the picture that I could have taken on my own in my iPhone?
It's imperfect. Mm. It's got the human touch. It's more direct. It's sort of primal. And photography, anything digital, is sort of polished and pure, and anybody can see the same thing. It's an individual's view. And I think that's what you were looking for. It's a spiritual, personal view of what you're experiencing. That's what you wanted.
It's an organic exchange when you're looking at something done by another human being. There's a thing in music they call a force perfection, where you take all the squeaks and sounds when someone's playing a violin or a vocal thing and you alter it, and when you see them in a concert, oh, this is not as good as the record or whatever it was. It can't be.
Right.
Because you have taken the human quality out of that. And the old records, they're much better when you hear on that. In the same way you looked at that painting, you were not getting a force perfection. You were getting what is.
And I'm thinking, too, she had to be part of your memory. Watching her create that was part of also the art for you.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever forget it. It's etched in my brain forever. It was
so
just a special moment.
She's not going to mail it to you and sell it to you after
you drive? Didn't she have a card?
She spoke French, so we barely were able to even communicate with her.
But I love the story.
It just made me think about how, and photography is an art, absolutely. But there's something so beautiful and special about paintings and drawings and sketches.
Yeah.
And there was a reason why I wanted that over something with my, capturing with my iPhone. So I just thought I'd ask you guys, and I think those were perfect answers and exactly what what my hunch was. But
it's so funny, while I'm doing sketches, people are always taking cell phone photos over my shoulder. It's like they have to have that image.
Mm. Yeah.
They took the pictures as well, but they want to get the image on the page.
Yeah, and also the person getting the image, that's like kind of cool. We're listening to Magic 107.7 FM with Thomas Thorspecken and Jason Hunt talking about art and visual art. So Joshua and I came up with a couple of questions that we thought might be fun to ask, and we're actually previewing them right now with you, so you guys can tell us what you think of these. You know how on the actor studio, there were questions that they asked? Well, we came up with some of ours. So here's the first one. What three words would you use to describe art?
Direct, sincere, and organic.
Direct, sincere, organic. Love it.
Passion, ecstasy, pain.
Yes, I forgot that one.
All right.
You know what's interesting, though, about that? If we had two performing arts people on microphones right now, they would not say those words.
Tell me what your three are.
Well, I mean, maybe passion would be. But mine is about, I think when I think of art, I think about change, I think about experience, and I think about, if I were to say art, I would probably say something about music. I don't know, I mean, it would be something about my discipline. But when you talk about organic and direct and sincere, there's a connection there, and I think that's deeper when it comes to visual arts.
And I'm not passion, not ecstasy, yeah,
like
pain.
That's a deep, deep connection to the art that you're producing. I love
Although
that.
Although I sketch in theater all the time, and if I hear a director talking to her cast, they often use the exact same language. It sounds like the director is talking about a painting being created when she talks about the staging, where what it looks like from the audience. Mm. Oh, it's the exact same language.
It's a moving picture. Yeah. And that's where they came, you know, with the moving pictures. That thing I said about pain is that because there is a constant battle in the artist of what he's doing, how he's doing it, why he's doing it, even if it's worth doing. One of the things you start might be really nice, but it's like, you know, something dies because you dismiss it.
And the loss, because like you're always giving it away, and it's always over.
Yeah. No, idea, once I do something, I actually never want to see it again.
What about the ones of me you got around?
Well, I still have the original.
Oh,
the original is the best
thing to say. I knew there had to be one of those moments with you two on the show today. There it is.
That's my Jason. I think of beauty, for sure. Beauty is one, expression and conversation.
Yeah.
But not all art is beautiful, but I think it's the creative process.
It's beautiful in the eyes of in the eyes of the beholder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't have light without shadow.
That's true.
Yeah. And that's what art represents. I call the bits. I used to call my works bits of pleasure and scraps of pain.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's one. Oh, what one line of advice would you give to a young person who says that they want a career in the arts?
You have to be patient and persistent. Don't worry about what others think about what you're doing, and just keep doing it and show people everything you do.
Meaning?
Always share what you do. Mm. Don't put it in the closet. Don't file it away. Many artists create and then it's lost. It's not shown to anybody else.
Wow. Did you ever do that?
I would say during the college years, yes. It's all filed away.
I think that's great advice. Even on the journey, if you don't feel like it's right where you want it to be yet, show it off. Mm-hmm. Let people know and let them go in the journey of you becoming an artist with you. I think that's great advice.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Jason, what advice?
Can you phrase that again?
Sure. What one line of advice, doesn't have to be one line, would you give to a young person who says they want a career in the arts?
Make sure that as an artist, this is what you have to do, not just because you want to do it. Might say you have a skill. It has to be it's almost like a calling in the sense you have to be willing to sacrifice a lot of things. You might sacrifice money and security and not knowing that tomorrow will be a better thing for place for what you're doing, but knowing that you're committed to what you're doing and continue doing it and listen to other people. And as Thomas says, you share it, but also criticism comes along with it. But critiques are not always negative. And we often lose the idea that critiquing is always looking at the false. Critique is also praising the good. And inside yourself, hold your center and do not let anyone say that you cannot achieve what you're truly trying to do.
Wow, that is really, really, really great advice. Jason and Thomas, you two need to co-author a book, seriously. I mean, there's just some really good nuggets today that we're hearing. Mm-hmm. Got another question, Mary?
What inspires you?
Well, just about every creative endeavor in town has inspired me. Any show I go to always leaves me thinking about my own life, about what's happening day to day in my own life. So all creative endeavors inspire me. That's why I'm always out searching for something every night. Mm. I'm a hunter. I'm hunting for something new, something that will inspire me.
Mm. Love that.
I think it's life. And every day you wake up and you're breathing. I'm inspired by that, to tell you the truth. I mean, there's so much in the world that you find beautiful and so many things you find wrong and so many things that are, you know, can be better. I like there's an old saying, to the good I will be good so they can remain good. To the evil I will be good so they can become good. Mm. And the artist, and that's what we try to do, to bring light to the world and make it whole and hopefully even people who realize that they're doing the wrong, eventually they will understand that. Mm.
Mary, what is it that inspires you?
I was just going to ask you that.
No, you go first.
Well, I'm inspired by awe. The things that literally leave me in awe. I'm inspired by the things I have no words for, because then I try to create words. Mm. How
I
about
love that.
You?
I'm inspired by the majesty and splendor of nature. there's nothing like being by a rushing river or a majestic mountain or something that just helps me breathe a little bit better. So I'm inspired by nature for sure.
I love that.
Yeah.
And also by the people I love, this one included. When I see someone I love that surprises me or that I see them in a different light, it always makes me go, you know, you can never think you know someone.
I know.
Constantly learning, right?
I love it. Mary, I can't believe it's time to go already.
No!
It is. Isn't that crazy? Guys, we have to have you back on the show because I feel like we just scratched the surface of talking about the importance of visual arts and the emotional connection and how everybody can take part in it. We need to have you back.
I want to say something about visual artists. Because they spend a lot of their time in solitude not speaking, when you do get them speaking, it's never enough. Because they have worlds in their minds we want to hear.
We will have them back.
Yeah.
Well, Thomas and Jason, thank you for what you bring to our community. Such beautiful work. And we're thankful for both of you.
Here, here.
Thank you both.
And Joshua, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Mary. And we'll see you next week. Go out and support the arts. There are so many great things happening. Go to OrlandoAtPlay.com and you will see all the happenings. Join us next week from the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM.